Hour number three of the Rich Eisen Show is on the air from Los Angeles, California. A very moving second hour with Bob Costas joining us here on the Rich Eisen Show Radio Network, here on Sirius XM Channel 211, or on this Rich Eisen Show terrestrial radio affiliate. We're on NBC Sports on Peacock as well, and Bob Costas came on and had quite a remembrance of Hank Aaron, who passed away this morning at the age of 86 in the great state of Georgia. Robert Saleh and Willie McGinnis, the head coach of the New York Jets, and my compadre from the NFL Media Group, joining us respectively here on this program to talk about championship weekend. Bobby Moynihan of Mr. Mayor, which you can stream right here on Peacock the day after it airs on NBC on Thursday night. He will be joining us. The SNL alum will be here, and we'll have a fun chat with him. Chris Brockman's going to give us his sneaky good games, his advice on where to place your hard-earned American dollars on Championship Sunday, for which there are two outdoor cold weather games, Kansas City, Missouri, as well as Green Bay, Wisconsin, which means it's time for Mike Del Tufo to give us the weather report later on today. It was great during the divisional playoff game between the Bills and the Ravens, when there was no snow. And Del Tufo's weather report on Friday was giving us a heads up that snow was not coming, and it was accurate. And our show EP, Don Bowie, texted Mike, well, what about the winds? I didn't hear about the winds on Friday. And then Mike said he did talk about the winds, which let everybody just sort of give Mike Del Tufo, our audio executive, a taste of his own medicine, that we don't listen to him when he's talking.
But I did say gusty winds.
As opposed to...
You did.
Dead on.
You did.
The audacity,
and I
Mike.
Said the under.
So it's just, again, it's just a lot of weather word salad from you.
I get it.
That sometimes you just need to pick a couple of weather tidbits, nail them, and get out of Dodge.
Rich, my parents said it all the time.
Which is?
You listen to about two of the 5,000 words I say.
Okay, very good.
That's all you need.
All right, very good.
We definitely talk a lot.
So that basically what we're saying is we're going to let you know what the advice is on who wins and who loses based on a certain number that a certain town and where there's no plaque or signpost for Mo Green, where the Rich Eisen Show could be heard on Raider Nation Radio every day. That town. That number will factor into your thinking, Christopher, right?
Absolutely.
And then Mike Del Tufo will give you weather that you'll have to pick and choose as to what you believe and what you hear. That's all coming up on this hour at 844-204-RICH, the number to dial as well. Our poll question at Rich Eisen Show is a simple one. Who do you believe is playing in the Super Bowl? Essentially, who wins Championship Sunday? And it is going to be a dynamite Sunday of action. It Absolutely. Is going to be intense. I do believe that you have closely matched teams, even though the matchups are rematches of Week 6 contests that were, in one case, a blowout of Tampa over Green Bay, or a game that was closer in the final score than it appeared to be between the Bills and the Chiefs. And that Week 6 game that was supposed to be a Thursday night short week game in Western New York turned out to be a Tuesday night game the following week due to all sorts of COVID-related snafus involving teams other than the Chiefs and the Bills. It was right. just a game that needed to be pushed because of scheduling problems. And the Chiefs essentially in that Week 6 game, and we talked about it with Travis Kelce, who I do believe joined us for the first of two times in the regular season on this show. He called in, if I'm not mistaken, and did confirm that what Baldy showed on his Baldy breakdowns on his Twitter feed is the Chiefs ran about three or four running plays 10 times each. They saw that the Bills were understaffed defensively. I think Matt Milano was out. And they just jammed it down the Bills' throat. I don't think it's an exaggeration. They ran it for almost 250 yards rushing. And they ran it 40 times. And it was a night that I don't think will be repeated on Sunday, is essentially what I'm saying, is that the Bills are hotter team than they were in Week 6. They're a healthier team than they were in Week 6. And I think the Chiefs are going to have definitely more trouble running the football on this front that was able to corral Lamar and J.K. Dobbins successfully in the divisional round. So, and Brady pointed out to the Saints' detriment, that the regular season can be reversed. And I think Aaron Rodgers is going to prove that to Tampa this weekend. It's tough to bet against Tom Brady, but I think, as you know, I chose Bills and Packers to make the Super Bowl at the outset of the playoffs, thanks to my 9-year-old Coop saying, Dad, let's go with this one. And I think that's the one that I'm going with. I don't know where Packers-Bills rates on our poll question, though, Christopher. I would imagine that would be DFL on the poll question.
Packers-Bills? Right,
yes, sir.
No, 33% say Packers-Bills.
Oh, boy.
Only 12% agree with Willie McGinnis and Del Tufo that it's Bucks-Chiefs.
By the way, that's an interesting percentage, 12, since that's the number. NFC Championship game brought to you by... If it was Sesame Street,
absolutely
that number.
13% think it's going to be the Bills not quitting Tom Brady and playing against Tom Brady. Bills Bucks is 13%, but the leader, guys, is Packers Chiefs, 43%.
Oh boy!
So 76% of our audience think the Packers will be playing in the Super Bowl.
Just real quick. Before we get to your news update, I love doing this. Storylines are what we'll be talking about Monday with Peter King. He's going to be our first guest on Monday show. Already booked, because he just always lends phenomenal perspective on the two teams that move on to the Super Bowl and sets the table for the 2 weeks of hype that's coming once Championship Sunday's all over. But Chiefs-Packers would be... Phenomenal. Because you got the 2-1 seeds, right? Rematch. You're talking rematches, right? Talking rematches.
One and two.
Super Bowls 1 and 2. Everybody thought that that would be possible last year in the 100th NFL season. Yeah. Wouldn't that be amazing if you get those rematches? It's rematch central, right? And so old school, we'll see a lot of old footage. But when Mahomes first started being Mahomes, all right? When Mahomes first showed you, oh gosh, not only can he can throw on the run. And not only can he throw on the run, he can uncork a pass that you did not think he could throw from that position of his body and with that arm angle and all that. The first person who everyone compared Mahomes to was Aaron Rodgers. At least I did. I know there's a lot of Favre gunslinger conversation about him and toughness and whatever, but... The whole concept of, I'm just going to flip it with my left hand was a little bit Favre-esque. You know, Brett completed his first career pass, don't forget, to himself.
Yep.
That's how the Favre wildness was born in the NFL. But truly, the athletic talent and arm strength and ability to avoid the rush and be very difficult to put down on the ground, Aaron Rodgers was the first one you think of. And you got... Two offenses that are, you know, in a way, second to none. And that would be an amazing matchup.
Amazing.
And then Willie McGinnis mentioned hour number two. If it's Bucks versus the Chiefs, the GOAT versus the kid. I mean, that's what you're going to hear, right? GOAT, kid. By the way, this just in, it is an animal reference. GOAT and kid. It's what you call a baby goat.
As a kid.
Do you understand what I'm saying these animals, Chris?
I feel you. I don't know why we're getting contentious.
I don't know. Just to get us excited that Brady would be in the Super Bowl after all this, and who's the one standing in his way trying to win back-to-back himself, just like Brady was in his – let me do this right. It was Brady's second year that he won, then third, fourth, fifth year. So he would be trying to beat Brady to the back-to-back punch.
Ooh.
How about that?
It's hard to keep all of Brady's Super Bowls in.
There's a lot.
Andy Reid, Bruce Arians, two coaches that ran out of Fs to give a very long time ago, right? You know, some of the best offensive weaponry, the Bucs, as you can even make an argument with all due respect to Aaron Jones and Devontae Adams, that you got Antonio Brown and Mike Evans and Chris Godwin and Tom Brady and Gronk versus... Kelce, the 287s, right?
A lot of great storylines, man.
Then let's swap out the Chiefs for the Bills. And how many times have the Bills gotten their brains beaten in by Tom Brady? We've lost track. We've lost track that you could also say that when the Pegulas bought the team from Ralph Wilson, the real owners are real owner of the Bills is Tom Brady still and always will be. And Bills fans are throwing stuff at their radios and TV sets right now because it's the truth. And even last year when the Bills were becoming, you know, a better team and a playoff team, they still got swept by New England, and Brady is Brady. And could you imagine the Bills finally make it back and they lose again? And it's Tom Brady.
Right.
That's the one that's making them lose again, to lose to Tom Brady again. Or, hey, you want to beat the best? You want to be the best? You got to beat the best? You want to finally say that we are not the same old Bills? We're going to beat Tom friggin' Brady. Kid from Fireball, California, who also grew up a 49er fan, just like Tom Brady. He's going to come in and he's going to be just like Tom Brady and say, I am going to win this when no one expects it to happen. That's that one. And then you swap out Brady for Green Bay. And, you know, you got a bunch of blue-collar fans. Packer fans like the cheese on their heads. And, you know, Bills fans like to jump into a vat of it. I'm grasping. I'm grasping here.
On fire.
You know, cheeseheads versus the mafia.
You have those chicken wing hats, too.
And Allen versus Green Bay. I mean, Matt LaFleur versus Sean McDermott. I mean, we will be having to, you know, pull out quite a bit to try and get some sort of connective tissue. Jim Kelly wore 12. I mean, they have their own 12. Bills Mafia. You know what I mean? Like, I'm trying to get there here.
Yeah.
But it'd still be a hell of a matchup.
Any of them will.
I know any of them will. I know we're in great shape, but that's the one that I think is going to happen.
Me too.
All right, let's get to Chris Brockman's news update before Bobby Moynihan joins us here on the Rich Eisen Show. What do you got over there, Christopher?
Oh, sorry. I thought we were...
It's all good. You're good. No, Mike's got it.
Oh, good job, Mike.
And now, with a report of the day's news from the world of sports and entertainment, someone who is not a journalist or newsman by any definition of the word whatsoever, it's Chris Brockman.
What do you got over there, Christopher?
Okay, just a few NFL things as we get ready for the weekend. Patrick Mahomes practiced again today in Kansas City, but still in concussion protocol. So we're waiting for him to be cleared, which we all expect he will. Big news from Tampa. Two big items here for the Bucs as they get ready to go to Lambeau. Antonio Brown is out. He will not play Sunday. The swelling in his knee, too much.
Wow.
They're worried about him flying and it getting worse. So he will not play.
He won't even get on the plane.
Not even going to get on the plane. And the Bucs, however, did activate Vita Vey from injured reserve. He is expected to play on Sunday. That's a big deal.
Vita Vea got carted off
in October.
In October. Yeah. He got carted off, I believe, in the Bears game. So I don't think he was even available. Was he playing in this game against Green Bay? He might have been carted. I don't recall. But okay, here we go. That's a big ad, man.
Big guy in the middle.
Antonio Brown's a big
big loss.
Big loss. Okay. Is he going to live stream the game on Instagram?
Great question. Not sure. You can reach out. I don't know if you guys are back on speaking.
We are
terms,
not. I am still blocked by AB84.
But he may still have just forgotten just to unblock.
No, I don't think so.
Still waiting for Houston to announce a head coach. Who knows when that's going to happen? But
well, you know what? The longer it goes with them not announcing it, the more it might be Bieniemy waiting to see what goes on.
Maybe the Chiefs go down this weekend. Bieniemy gets that gig on Monday. Who knows?
The Chiefs don't go down this weekend, and we'll just know that they're holding it for somebody. Or it's Leslie Frazier.
Perhaps
we'll find out because of the two. And by the way, those two are the ones
going
matching wits this weekend.
But a note
because Bieniemy does have something to do with the offense, by the way.
Yes, he does.
Believe it or not.
Come on.
So ridiculous.
So stupid.
Urban Meyer, though, did finally peg an OC. It's going to be Darrell Bevell, who was with the Lions this last year, filled in as the interim head coach. Darrell Bevell is going to be Jacksonville's OC.
The golden ticket. Darrell Bevell, the man who was hounded out of Seattle because he said, we will not run with Marshawn Lynch. We will pass in that Super Bowl. That one who was run out of Seattle, then went to Detroit.
Went to Detroit, yeah.
went to Detroit. Now out of a job in Detroit because Dan Campbell's eaten
everything.
Kneecaps. Daryl Bevel, the golden ticket of being associated, hooked up, hip to hip, headset to helmet with Trevor Lawrence. It belongs to Daryl Bevel.
Lucky you.
Go
buddy.
Figure that.
Lucky you.
Wow. Seahawk fans, I want to hear from you.
React to me.
844-204-RICH.
React.
Seahawk fans, the guy who said, let Russ cook from the one-yard line, even though I was calling running plays all the way up to 3rd and 8 for Russell's first several years. That guy.
That guy.
Wow. Congratulations to Daryl Bevel.
Yeah, yeah. Another coaching news. Rob Ryan's back. Took last year off. He's going to be the Ravens linebackers
inside
coach.
Linebackers, inside coach Chris. Linebackers, he will not have the outside linebackers under his portfolio.
I was combining the two. And then saw this pop up from Andrew Marchand at the New York Post. Philip Rivers just retired this week. ESPN planning to keep its Monday Night Football booth as is. Uh-oh. Steve Levy, Lewis Riddick, Brian Griese. But...
yes.
They are going to reach out to Philip to gauge some interest there if he's interested in joining the Monday Night Football team.
What, as the as an analyst or something like that?
Yeah, as an analyst.
Four-man booth.
If he wanted in, the network would keep the door open.
I don't think he's... I don't know.
I'm guessing that gig would pay more than a high school football coach.
Well, but again, I couldn't be more, you know, honest with you here. I mean,
I like the way, both, yeah.
No. Look, Philip is just a dynamite personality. You know, I mentioned here. Do you have anything more over there?
Just quickly, we didn't get to earlier in the week. Tiger Woods announced that he had a fifth back surgery remove a disc fragment. Going to miss at least 2 months. Hopes to be back for the Masters.
Okay. The Philip Rivers, you know, retirement, the day that it was announced, I mentioned here about my favorite memory of Philip was showing up on the game day or the Thursday Night Football post-game show set. After the Chargers shocked Peyton Manning and the Broncos on a Thursday night Week 15 game that gave them the second straight win. Then they won 2 more times, made the playoffs, and won a playoff game and almost beat Peyton Manning in the divisional round. And he came like he was shot out of a cannon. He was in ostrich boots and, you know, he was wearing a bolo tie and he trended on Twitter and his personality was just infectious. His enthusiasm just jumped through the television screen, and we showed those ostrich boots, which was also great because Mooch got a Denver Broncos cheerleaders calendar from the Denver Broncos cheerleaders a segment before, and he put it down underneath the desk. You could see that Mooch was keeping it, you know, and it was great. But, So Philip would be great because, you know, he's smart. He can dissect a play. He could be like Romo bouncing off walls or whatever. But how can you coach high school kids in Alabama and say, all right, Friday night's us. Friday night's about us. Yeah. And then on Saturday, get on a plane, do a Zoom, Sunday Zoom or whatever. Watch all the NFL games because you got to be up on it for Monday night. Do that and then come back. And I guess he could watch tape. He's got 9 kids, too. I mean, how...
Seems like a lot.
Dude, but I guess if you can be a top-notch, all-world, future Hall of Fame, in my mind, quarterback, if you're spinning all those plates.
Seems like a lot.
That does seem like a lot. I don't know if he'd be able to coach high school and do that. Because that's a lot. You can't.
It's a lot.
The number of analysts that I've been around that just think, I know football, and I'll just talk. Or, I know football, I'll just talk, and I don't need to see all the games. It doesn't work. 844-204-RICH, number to dial. I've been around a lot of those. 844-204-RICH is the number to dial. Bobby Moynihan of Mr. Mayor on Peacock. That's coming up right here on NBC Sports on Peacock. Don't go anywhere. Let's talk Game Time. Boy, do we love using Game Time tickets at the Rich Eisen Show. And every single time I've been watching the basketball playoffs on TV, I've been wondering what it would be like to be at these games. And when you choose your tickets on Game Time, you can see the view from your seat, where the court is, where you are in relation to it. And then the all-in prices, that's my favorite feature. The all-in prices make sure that you see the lowest price guarantee and also know exactly how much everything costs all in before you purchase. So all the guesswork is removed when you buy playoff tickets with Game Time. Download the Game Time app, create an account, and use my code RICH for $20 off your first purchase. Terms apply. Visit GameTime.co for restrictions. Again, create an account, redeem my code RICH for $20 off your first purchase. Download Game Time today. Last minute tickets, lowest price guaranteed. Hey, folks, it's time for the NFL draft, which means for me, I need a good night's sleep, because if I don't have one, I'm just not myself. You know the deal. You know exactly how important it is to have quality sleep. It's a game changer for all of us. So Sleep Number helps me. My Sleep Number setting is 60. My wife's setting is 70. We both get a great night's sleep because we could adjust the firmness of our mattress on each side. Improve your quality sleep, because Sleep Number learns how you sleep thanks to their smart beds and provide personalized insights to help you sleep better. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 40% on the Sleep Number limited edition smart bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at a Sleep Number store or sleepnumber.com.
This is the Rich Eisen Show.
Back here on our Rich Eisen Show radio network and affiliates. If you're on hold, stay on hold. We're going to have a conversation, though, with one of the stars of Mr. Mayor that's on NBC Thursday nights at 8 Eastern time. And you could stream it right here on Peacock the next day. Bobby Moynihan here on the show. How are you, Bobby?
Good. How you doing, man? How's everything?
I'm doing fine. So you're from Westchester, that part of New York City, in New York?
Yes, I am. Eastchester in Westchester. It's nice to hear a bunch of shout-outs. I was so happy to hear about Lake Isle. I used to work there.
Okay. So were you like a caddy there in the golf course, Bobby?
I was a lifeguard for many years, yeah.
So were you the lifeguard on caddy day in the pool at that?
No, I did drive a golf cart into the kiddie pool once by accident.
Hold on a second now. Are you serious? Does that really happen?
Very serious. Oh, we did it all the time for fun, but I did it once by accident.
And how much longer were you employed at that esteemed golf club?
I was there for many years. That was the least of the things I did wrong.
This is like Caddyshack all over again.
Yeah.
are you a fan of any particular sports team, Bobby? From up there at all? Yes, no, maybe?
Born and bred Giants fan. Have to be from my dad, yeah. Yankees as well, probably Rangers. But, I think that's it. Oh, a silence.
I'm taking it all in right now. So were you like a Lawrence Taylor fan growing up, a Phil Sims guy, or who
Phil
was your
Sims,
guy?
Joe Morris, that era,
Joe
yeah.
Morris.
Phil Sims was very big, very, very big in our lives.
Okay. So that's pretty cool. A kid from Westchester getting a gig on SNL. That had to be pretty amazing for you, Bobby.
Yeah, it was my live stream. My dad really realized it, really was very proud of me when he met Eli Manning. That was when he started bragging about SNL.
Okay, now that's when Eli was the guest host there, correct?
Yes. Peyton Manning had hosted a couple times, but that was before my time, and then Eli Manning was there when I was there. Yeah.
Okay, so who was the best athlete host of SNL that had the best comedic chops?
Oh, wow. I don't know about that. I would have to say Charles Barkley might be the most fun, just because we did a lot of drinking until early hours in the morning afterwards.
Oh, yeah. So at the post party is what you're... I've been to one or two of those. Those go to like 3-4 in the morning. Back in the day, right?
Yeah, I would. I back in the day when I was, you know, young and still full of hope, I would get home like Sunday afternoon.
So, how did you get the gig in SNL? How did you get the call? How did you?
Gosh, I have no idea. I did comedy. Went through, you know, the channels and they saw me. I got to audition and got super lucky. It was like, I still don't believe it.
So you just got a phone call and then suddenly you showed up?
It was 14 months of torture. It was like, I almost got it. And then the writer's strike happened. And then after a very long time of trying, I got a call from Lauren just saying, like, no, I think we'll start you soon. And I was just like, oh, okay. And then the next thing you know, I had done 5 shows already.
Bobby Moynihan here on the Rich Eisen Show. Of the characters that you have played, if I'm not mistaken, Bill Belichick. You have portrayed Bill Belichick on SNL. Is that
Yeah, I think I have. Yeah. Yeah, I always ended up playing a lot of coaches.
So
Jimmy Johnson, I don't know if that ever made it on air. I played a lot of guys. Like
why
that.
Do you think that is, Bobby? I mean, why do you think that they turn to you for the coach? What do you think that
mostly
is?
Mostly shape, I would say.
So how did you practice for your Belichick? Did you go to tapes? How did you get ready for your Bill?
I probably watched or saw a picture and went like, I got it. Which is not the right thing to do. There are people like Jay Farrow and Taryn who are like so good at impressions. I went for more of a vibe.
And then John Daly. Did you play John Daly once, Bobby? Did you play him?
Oh, yeah, I think so. It's, well, yeah, during a game show, I think. It all blurs together, yeah.
What's your favorite sketch that you did on SNL, Bobby?
Oh, boy. They all are amazing. Right now, just for oh, God, is there like a fun sports one?
It doesn't have to be sports at all.
Channing Tatum played Tom Brady the night before the Super Bowl of the Giants, and I was a crazy woman named Janet Peckinpah who tried to sleep with him, and it ruined him, and that's why they lost the Super Bowl. I think that might be one of my favorites.
Okay, so then I guess let me go one last one with you here at SNL. The skit that you wished could have made it that didn't, either you wrote or part of the writing or part of the acting in it, which one was that for you, Bobby?
Every week you write something that you wish gets on and it doesn't, but... I always wrote like fantasy things. Like it was like when I loved the show Lost. So when Lost was ending, right. I like wrote like a big thing. You know, I always tried to like insert myself into things that I enjoyed.
So that that didn't make it, is what you're saying.
A bunch, yeah. Every week something didn't make it that you write it, but probably rightfully so.
I've got Bobby Moynihan here on the Rich Eisen Show. So let's talk about Mr. Mayor, which again you could stream right here on Peacock the next day after it airs. It airs on Thursday nights. I was talking about how Ted Danson is royalty. That's what's it like being in a show with him and Holly Hunter, two I guess royals of the profession. What's that like?
Yeah,
for you?
I feel like I'm learning. I feel like I'm getting free acting lessons from two master classes. Ted's just been on television since forever, and he's fantastic at it, and he's really wonderful to work with in the crew, and Holly is maybe one of the most creatively talented people I've ever met, and I love watching her work, and I can't believe I get to do scenes with them, and they're fantastic, and I get to be the idiot that comes in every 10 minutes and says something funny.
and then you go home and then just do it again.
Yeah, and then I get to go home.
Rinse and repeat. And then,
not so bad.
So what do you like about the show, Bobby? What do you like about it?
What I like about it is Tina Fey, Robert Carlock wrote it. If I was not on it, I would be a fan of the show. I would be watching it anyway, just because of them. But I like that it's not about politics. It's more about the people and their relationships that just happen to be working for the mayor. That's pretty fun. It's a nice escape to laugh in a nice way.
Okay. And that's at 8 Eastern on Thursday nights on NBC. You can catch new episodes of Mr. Mayor again the next day on Peacock. How come you're Bibby Moynihan on Instagram, Bobby? How come?
Exactly. I just, that's a nickname, and I just thought it was funny at the time.
So there was no Bobby Moynihan and that was squatting on your name or something like that?
No, there probably will. I think there is a Bobby Moynihan, but it's like there's like one post and it's for an ad for like an iced tea that doesn't exist or something. I have no idea.
Right.
I just thought it was funny to get Bibby Moynihan.
And you
probably
could,
not the best idea.
No, no, it stands out. It definitely stands out, and it's also, you know, fun to say. And I'm just looking at some of your characters in SNL. Gandalf in the Hobbit office. I forgot about that one. That's
a fun one.
That is a fun one. Where the Hobbit office is a fantastic construct. Hey, Bobby, thanks for the call. I really appreciate it. Thanks for coming on the show. I really appreciate you calling in, and I look forward to seeing more of Mr. Mayor and watching it the next day here on Peacock. Thanks for the call, brother.
Thank you so much. Take care.
You got it. That's Bobby Moynihan right here on the show, at Bibby Moynihan on both Twitter and Instagram, here on The Rich Eisen Show. So we have news on Patrick Mahomes. Let's take a break and just do one monster final segment of the show. How does that sound?
Let's
take a break here. We'll be back in 10 seconds. Patrick Mahomes news. Chris Brockman's Sneaky Good Games, Mike Del Tufo's Weather Report, and all your phone calls. We'll empty the phone banks when we come back.
What's up, everyone? It's Reality Steve, your number one source for all things Bachelor Nation and reality TV. Every day, I'm giving you the behind-the-scenes juice and your info on all your Bachelor Nation stories, and also interviewing some of your favorite reality stars. My name has been synonymous with spoilers, but I'm so much more than that. Give me a listen.
The Reality Steve Podcast, part of the Bleav Network. Just search BLEAV on YouTube or wherever you listen. Afford Anything talks about how to avoid common pitfalls, how to refine your mental models, and how to think about how to think.
Paula, while certainly you can mess up on $1 million a year, it is far less likely than it is on $30,000 a year.
Right.
I would meet wonderful people that were struggling with a budget that was super tight. It was 100%. You need to make more money.
Make smarter choices and build a better life.
Afford Anything, wherever you listen.
This is the Rich Eisen Show.
Unbelievable. 844-204-RICH, number to dial here on the Rich Eisen Show. Okay, here's what we're going to do. I'm going to take some phone calls.
Okay.
And then Mike Del Tufo, I'm going to turn to you for the weather report. Yeah, okay. You're first because, I mean, Chris is going to...
Set the table,
unless
man.
You think, unless you want to go first to give people hope and and potential change of their pocket, hope and change in their pocket.
I'm helping.
And then
the
Mike Del Tufo just finishes up. Del Tufo finishes up strong. That's what we'll do then.
Fine, we can do that.
In the meantime, we go to our phones. Peter in Arizona has been holding on a while. What's up, Peter?
Hey, Rich. How are you today?
I am well for having you here. What's going on in your mind?
Wonderful. So real quick story about Hank Aaron. First, Bob Cost, you're amazing. DP's amazing. I can listen to you guys and Bob Cost.
Thank you.
Just rinse, repeat all day long.
We're wonderful. Fortunate. We're fortunate to be able to have Bob call in and to deliver him to your ear gate, to use the phrase of Michael Edwards. So my pleasure.
So I am 51. I was maybe 8 or 9, I lived in right suburb outside of Detroit. My dad was relatively high up in a car company, Detroit Auto Show. They had a champions panel or something to that degree where they had, you know, sometimes some local sports figures. On this particular panel, the year that I went was Jesse Owens, Hank Aaron, Al Kaline.
Wow.
I know, really big. So because my dad was with the position he was in the company, I went on day one with just some VIPs. I'm 8, right? I'd say my name, meet the guys, blah, 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 blah. Later on that week, I don't know, 6 days later, something like that, I go now back to the auto show for a friend's birthday party, not at all with the VIPs, the whole thing.
Right.
Wait in line, okay? This is 6 days later. I can't imagine how many people walked by and met these guys. I come up, and Jesse Owens says my name. Hey, Pete, how are you? And I kind of looked at him. I mean, I'm 8, but I still understand. I met this guy a week before. He looks over at Hank, said, Hank, you remember Pete? Hank, I honestly, God, I don't think he remembers.
Get out of here.
He should remember me. But it was 6 days later, and he completely plays along and says, actually, hey, Pete, how are you? Blah, 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 blah. And it just was one of those things where he must have met, I don't know, 1,000 people over the course of that week, possibly. How the heck one of them, you know, remembered my name and then had Hank play along. It's just more of a story of just the quality of these gentlemen, and it's such a bummer that Hank is gone, but hopefully the stories continue to live on, and
that's an amazing story.
Amazing guy.
Pete, thanks for calling. Really appreciate it. Thanks for hanging on for as long as
that. That's awesome.
Love that.
Little did Pete know he was wearing a name tag the entire time.
No, come on.
No, that's some old school, old school people who just know about the interpersonal relationships that you can bring to just one kid one day. Could you imagine that Jesse Owens? Hey, Pete, week later. Unbelievable.
Right.
And I know it's authentic that he grew up in Detroit because he said he was waiting in line. I say waiting online.
Online. Right.
New Yorkers say online.
Online, yeah.
Everyone yeah, he's waiting in line. He said I was waiting in line. Yeah. That's a Midwest thing. We're us morons, we say online. We're waiting online.
I just cut the line usually.
Well done. Because you're TJ friggin' Jefferson.
Chat and cut.
Holler at your boy.
Right? Do you have the Josh Norman drop at the ready? The new drop this week from Josh Norman. He doesn't have it.
Yeah, dude. Stand by. Okay. I was getting my weather report was all set.
Oh, I'm sorry. I don't mean to do that. Patrick Mahomes, cleared to play.
Hey, what a shock.
Cleared to play.
Hey, now.
This just in, Patrick Mahomes has been cleared to play. He will be in there, so anything might still be possible.
Anything's possible.
Did you see the other big news as regards to our show that just happened?
What?
Tom Brokaw announced his retirement.
Mm-hmm. Did he really? Well,
NBC will announce Brokaw formally retiring after 55 years.
Okay. Brokaw Emeritus. Oh, what is this? You got
TJ.
It?
TJ.
That's all they fed me.
That's all they fed you? You played the full thing the other day.
I know. I played it from the thing, but don't worry. We got it.
He played it from the
Don't worry.
Now I understand. Now I understand. He played it from the thing.
I'm into the weather.
Guys, everybody, just relax. He played it from the thing.
I'm into the weather already.
You know, the thing through the thing.
All right, get ready for your weather report, Mike. Exactly. I'm going to take some more phone calls.
Okay. I got to help with that, too.
All right. Patrick in Baltimore, you're on the Rich Eisen Show. What's up, Patrick?
Hey, Rich. Thanks for taking my call.
Thanks for making it.
I've got two quick Hank Aaron stories.
Go for it.
The first one I read years ago. Forgive me. I cannot remember the source. But the one year that Hank Aaron was in the Negro Leagues, in the spring training of that year, Jackie Robinson happened to be around and was just off to the side talking with some old teammates and whatnot. And after Hank Aaron's team was done their practice, Jackie, nudged the people he was talking to the whole time. He goes, that kid right there, who is he? And they said, oh, that's the rookie. His last name's Aaron. And Jackie Robinson said, all right, well, keep tabs on him. He's going to be something.
Oh, boy. Amazing.
And in the summer of 2019, I went back to Cooperstown for the first time in a long time. And they have since my last visit had opened a Hank Aaron exhibit. And there was a story in that exhibit that a year after the story I just told you, when Hank Aaron was in spring training with the Braves, he was taking batting practice, and after he finished, he was walking off the field back to the dugout when around the corner came, of all people, Ted Williams.
Yep.
And he was screaming and hollering because the Red Sox had been playing two fields over, and he heard the ball coming off of Hank Aaron's bat and just took off and knew that he had to go meet that person. Ran onto the field, stopped the Braves practice, and demanded to be introduced to Hank Aaron.
Thanks for the call, Patrick.
Just
you the man.
The sight, or from the sound.
I love it. Thank you, Patrick.
Wow.
You know, it's interesting because if anybody has, heard the show from the beginning today, I told the story similar to that.
Yep.
But the story I heard was different, and this is, I'll just read you, this is the Atlanta Journal-Constitution's obituary on Hank Aaron, and it starts this way. This is the first two paragraphs of the obituary in the AJC. In March of 1954, with his place in the major leagues far from assured, Hank Aaron was granted a start in a Milwaukee exhibition game versus Boston, only because Bobby Thompson, the regular left fielder and Aaron's idol, had just broken his ankle. Already possessed of dramatic timing at the age of 20, the rookie promptly drilled a ball that carried the wall. flew over a row of trailers parked outside the Sarasota Park and reverberated so loudly in the Red Sox clubhouse that the great Ted Williams emerged, as Aaron recalled, quote, wanting to know who it was that could make a bat sound that way when it hit a baseball, end quote. Then I'll just read you the next. Over the next 23 years, a nation of fans would join in Williams's wonder as Aaron was transformed from a raw, cross-handed line drive hitter into the game's most prolific force. A Hall of Famer, Atlanta's first professional sports star, and in a soft-spoken way, an agent of change in the post-Jim Crow South, Aaron came to embody the city as he embodied the Braves. Baseball's all-time home run king died Friday at the age of 86. Let's go to Mark in San Diego. You're here on the Rich Eisen Show. What's up, Mark?
Hey, Rich. Thanks for having me.
Thanks for being here.
I was a 21-year-old kid in Las Vegas, my first trip. And a bunch of us were there, and they all wanted to go gamble. And I said, we're going to watch the game because I'm a big Dodger fan. And Vin Scully called the game on his play-by-play, and it would be nice maybe if you get a copy of that sometime and play it. Also, you mentioned Bill Buckner scaling the wall. Do you know who caught the ball in the outfield, in the bullpen?
Jeffrey Mayer's dad?
Tom House.
Tom House, huh?
Yeah.
Who later became a quarterback guru, training all the quarterbacks on how to throw the ball.
How about that? Amazing. Yeah. Thanks.
And Dan Patrick also this morning had an interview with Hank that the two guys that ran on the field he became friends with later on, one became a very prominent doctor.
Hmm. And then thank you for the call. Thanks for the recollections, Mark. Greatly appreciate that.
Yeah, Rich, I retweeted earlier Tom House giving his thoughts on Hank Aaron and how he handed the ball to him after.
And then he befriended Sager, who he met at home plate, yep, as a member of the media, and he probably didn't see for years after that. I mean, Sager's story, we'll post that. Speaking of gambling, Chris, in Vegas, you ready to give us some sneaky good games here on the Rich Eisen Show? And just proof that Tom Brokaw is still going to be kept busy by this program.
Thank you.
Despite his imminent retirement from NBC News.
Here's Chris Brockman with Sneaky Good Games. Contests likely to surprise you with their heretofore undisclosed competitive value.
All right, Christopher, what do you have over there?
All right, everybody. 4-0 last week. Thanks to everybody who followed along. Let's do it again. First up, Tampa Bay, Green Bay. Looks like the line is going back and forth between Packers favored by 3 or 3.5.
Right.
I don't think it's going to matter. I think Green Bay wins by at least a touchdown. I like the Packers at home.
At least a touchdown.
I just like the way they're playing. Tampa benefited last week on bad quarterback play, but from Drew Brees. They scored 21 points off 3 turnovers. I don't think that's going to happen this time. Aaron Rodgers is the league's MVP. He's playing at an elite level, and I just don't think Tampa's going to be able to keep up.
All right.
In the nightcap, I know Patrick Mahomes is back. He's back.
He's been cleared.
He's going to play. He's been cleared. But I think the toe is kind of a bigger issue. I don't think Kansas City's as good on defense as they were last year. I don't think the run game is as good as it was earlier this season. And I think Buffalo, I just think it's their time.
Wow.
I think Josh Allen is getting to that elite level. And I like the Bills plus to play. I like the Bills to win outright, but I'm going to take the +3 for these purposes.
So you must be really confident about this because you didn't, you know, go to the old saw of emoji, shrug emoji.
Oh, here's with the over totals? Under. Yeah.
Here, no, totals. You didn't go totals. You just went straight up.
I went straight up.
Well, you didn't go straight up.
I am going to go straight up, though. I'm going to put my own money on Bills, Packers, money line parlay.
Can you explain to me what that is? Because you actually mentioned that earlier in the week, and you said, who did you send that to them? You're going to do a money line or something?
I said that to Kyle Brandt yesterday.
Okay.
So I'm going to take the Packers to win.
Yes.
I'm going to take the Bills to win, but I'm going to put them together in a bet called a parlay.
Yes, so if one of them loses,
then I lose my bet. But I'm
so
gonna,
you could be like, hey, I got Green Bay right, and then all of a sudden Mahomes ruins your parlay.
Exactly, but I'm going to put them both together. I'm going to get about 3-1 return, and I'm going to
ride. Your $1 gets you $3.
$1 is going to get me about $280. And I'm going to ride that off into the Super Bowl.
Does the person with whom you make these transactions give you the change?
Did they provide you the change?
They do. Yeah, they provide the change.
Here's two dimes. Yeah. Here's here's four nickels.
Two dimes and a nickel.
Does this individual have one of those things that, you know, that the ice cream guy used to have on the
those
belt?
Those are like, great.
I love
coin dispenser.
Coin.
Let's go.
Now the ice cream guy's, you know, shooting your avatar for the Venmo. Right.
Right. Got those little swipe things on their phone.
Green Bay, Buffalo. Let's do it.
Oof. All right, Mikey.
Hey, how's the weather out there?
Del Tufo with the weekend weather update.
It's raining sideways. Well, it might be raining sideways in one of the places.
Is that
Come on, Mike.
Look at you with a turn
tidbit.
Of the phrase.
That's Mike Tidbit, not a TJ Tidbit.
Bring it.
First game, Tampa at Green Bay. It's going to be cloudy. 30% chance of snow flurries. In Lambeau.
Wow.
With a wind between 6 and 11 miles an hour.
That's not a big
West wind, that is.
West wind, ever.
Hey, you know, if you're kicking, you got to know. The second game, Buffalo Bills at Kansas City. I think you should bring...
What was that, by the way?
I was here
to collect himself.
I was collecting myself. I think you should bring an umbrella to the game.
Yeah, but you're not allowed to bring an umbrella inside a stadium in the NFL, Mike.
You might be able to because there's only a certain amount of fans in Kansas City. It's going to be cloudy.
Are you making
a
is that the Del Tufo
protocol? I kind of
made that up. Like, there could literally be somebody in our audience who's like, I heard Mike Del Tufo said I could bring an umbrella here.
Honey, grab the umbrella.
You might be able to take a small one of those little pop-up ones. You don't know. No. Exactly. If you listen to me, you're thankful for listening to me. Thank you, Don.
You're giving them the weather. Like, let's go.
40% chance of rain, a little east wind at 6 to 11 miles an hour, and... I didn't give you the game time temperature. I should have done that. It was going to be it's 28 in Green Bay, and it's 40 in Kansas City.
So it's going to be night in Kansas City, high 30s, low 40s, and raining. Buffalo and Kansas City,
weather.
Man.
Oh. That's Buffalo weather.
That's Wyoming weather, right?
No, that's 40 in Kansas City.
How am I so in on the Bills? This is crazy.
What happened to you? I don't even know who the hell you are anymore.
I'm taking the opposite. I mean, I'm sorry. It was bad.
What are you talking about?
Mike,
I think you just did an excellent job with the exception of telling people to bring a pointy object to a football game.
No, you can take
They're not going to let you bring let me explain to everybody. You will not be if you go to Arrowhead with an umbrella, you will not be allowed in. Okay?
They make you
You have to check the umbrella.
Check the umbrella. They might you can buy one there.
Actually, I bet you Chiefs fans would eject you from the stadium. You're showing up signaling like you're on Dealey Plaza, opening up your umbrella in the middle of a game. Honestly, you don't see umbrellas at any games in the NFL. Just don't do it. No, just don't do it. But, well, good job otherwise,
Thank you, Mike. I mean, I was just trying.
Good job otherwise. All right, that's it for this edition of this Rich Eisen Show. For everyone who is on hold, call back Monday. We'll be chit-chatting some more. That's for darn sure. I want to thank Robert Sala. I want to thank, for our Peacock audience, we'll take these phone calls. Our radio audience is who we are saying goodbye to right now. I will be on NFL Game Day morning at 9 a.m. Eastern Time on NFL Network with truly a cast of thousands. On Monday, Peter King will join us right here on NBC Sports on Peacock, and we will have the video of me telling Josh Allen, I think you're the Mandalorian quarterback, and him saying yes.
Yes.
I agree, Rich.
Yes.
This happened, all right?
I believe it.
I believe
you got to move on. No, you got to move on.
Here's what we got to move on. We got to move on to the weekend. Thanks for taking in this edition of the Rich Eisen Show, however you're hearing it. For our Peacock audience, stay right there. We'll take your phone calls and get you set for Brother from Another.